Sorry, direct voice tape recording. Is that of Edward Butler? He was killed in an accident in the street. This was recorded on the 10th of February 1964. The sitters being Mr. S.G. Woods and Mrs. B. Green. Medium, Mr. Leslie Flynn.
Well,
who?
Yes,
very
clear. Anyway, they put the body in the ambulance, you know, the wife got in, and some nurse or some woman was an expressman of hers, and I actually got in with the wife who sat in this ambulance seat, and she didn't seem to realize I was sitting there at all, and gradually it came on me that that was me lying down there, and I was sitting there as right as rain, you might say, but the wife didn't seem to have gotten on to the fact I was there, and I went to the hospital, and then of course they put me in a mortuary, and I didn't like that at all. I didn't fancy that, so I got out of that quick and went home. And the wife was Mrs. Kitchen next door, trying to comfort her, you know. Oh dear, it was a time. I mean, that was the first time in the lot, the first week, I suppose it must have been. Then there was a funeral and all that. Of course, I went to that. I thought to myself, the total, I didn't know, there was all this fuss and how to do an expense for nothing, because here I was in the carriage, an horse-drawn carriage the wife had, because she knew my love of horses. They did have motors, but she wanted this horse drawn, I suppose. It was all very touching, but at the same time, it all seems to be absolutely to me, because there I was. Nobody took any notice, the old parson. I knew him of old, not that I had anything to do with him, never went to his church or anything, but when we had our first kid christened, we went there. We were married years before that, another distance, anyway. He was standing there reciting away, you know, and I thought, well, I don't know, he should know if anyone knows. I went and stood beside him, nudging him with my elbow in the side to take a notice at all. Just went on with his ritual, you know. Then he sort of spoke to the missus and one or two friends and neighbours and there, but he was off out of it, lifted up his old skirts and off he went. He couldn't care less. Expect he got his little bit. Then there was the great diggers. I knew one of them, old Tom Corbett. He was a case. He was with me apart from him and Lowe. He filled in the old, you know, the other bloke filled in the old coffin and that little grave. I thought, this is a fine how to do. I must stay down here with this mouse and I'll get out of there. I didn't quite know what to do. In a proper sort of thing, I must have hung around my house for weeks, I should. Once or twice I would go on the old trams, and first I was sort of all mixed up. I used to have a laugh too sometimes. I used to think, oh, the corporation, do I sit on here not paying me fair? They'd say something. But then again, I began to realise that everybody sitting on that tram, for instance, wasn't paying the fare either. Some of them got away with it for years, one way or another. Then, of course, there's one or two there that I met. I remember one of the first real conversations I ever had was with a woman sitting next to me on a tram. And I thought she seemed very sort of nice and that, and she started our conversation. She said, I remember she said something to me. She says, what are you doing here? I'd also find a way to open up a conversation. I said, what do you mean, what am I doing here? I might as well be here as anywhere else if I want to be. And she says, I know, I suppose, but you ought to be doing something, not just going up and down in trams and buses and going worrying your wife, you can't do anything that way. So I said, well, I said, it's all very well for you, I said, but where do you go then? Of course, I realised then that she was dead, you know. I thought, well, what's she doing on the same lark as me? If she's dead, she's dead. What, you know, I said, well, she says, as a matter of fact, she says, I've been coming up and down on the trams and the buses with you for some time, well, you probably never noticed me until just there. She says, well, I've been here waiting for a chance to try and give you a hand. I said, well, what can you do? So she said, well, don't you think it's time you got away and got out of these here conditions? It's only your thoughts that's holding you down. You want to do more than this, surely, hanging around the earth. Nobody takes any notice of you. What's the point of it? So I said, well, it's true, no one takes any notice, but I find it's better than sort of just sort of, well, not bothering at all. And I, in case I said, I don't know anything else. So she said, well, that's your fault. It's your state of mind that keeps you down here. If you were to release your thoughts, she says, and think about things of a higher thought, wife, and he was trying to waft her and stay in the house. So she says, you should know by now. She says that although you can get in the bus, for instance, and sit in the bus and get off at the stop and get on at the pick-up place and all that, you don't have to be like that. You don't have to do what everybody else does. You're only doing things out of habit. She says, you've got to get out of some of those habits and realize now that these things are important, and you can, by the mere thought, you can transmit yourself, transfer yourself, they say, transfer yourself from this condition. So I said, I don't know. She said, look, she says, here's my hand, you hold my hand, just close your eyes and try not to think of anything in particular. Just make your mind a sort of blank, but don't think of anything material in your life. So I did as she told me. I found it a bit hard. I don't know how long it must have been on that bus before we got off it, but still, that's either here or there, is it? Anyway, the next thing I knew, it was as if I must have lost consciousness or something. Next thing I knew, I was sitting in a very nice armchair opposite this lady in a very nice little parlour, nice little room, wash, you know, very pretty, very nice chintz curtains. There wasn't the windows, there was a nice hearth rug on the floor, and although there was a wonderful feeling of lightness and warmth, what I thought was the sun was shining through the windows, even it looked spick and span, the table was nicely laid out, and there was everything that one would want. It was just like as if I'd gone somewhere for afternoon tea, you know. I thought, well, I don't know, where am I now? The place wasn't familiar to me, although it was very nice. So she said, oh, I brought you here. She said, you realise now, she says, you're in my little home. I said, oh, it's very nice of you. I don't know what my wife thinks in a strange woman's home. So she said, ah, she laughed. She said, you don't think like that now. She said, that's far away from you. She says, we'll have a nice chat, a nice cup of tea, and I'll explain things to you. So I said, well, that's very nice of you, dear. Ah, she said, oh, by the way, she says, I'd like you to know, she said, that I've been here for many years. I came here just the turn of the century. So I said, oh, yes. She says, and I fell down beside the kitchen table. I always remember myself how it happened. Then I must have fallen to unconsciousness, she said, but my dear mother came and fetched me away. Anyway, she says, I'm very happy here, and I'm living with my mother. So I said, oh, why are you? I says, oh, where's your mother now, then? Oh, she says, she's out. Oh, yes, I says, well, how does she go to work? So she says, she laughs. She says, well, yes, I suppose you could call it work. We're not working the old way. My mother was a hard-working woman on earth, you know. She used to take in washing for people, and she was always doing something or other. But now she's very busy. She goes to a place where she looks after the children, and she was always fond of the children. And these children are little children who died in infancy or when they were very young, you know, and she helps to bring them up and help them, look after them. You know, she loves that work. She'll be back soon. So she says, we'll have a cup of tea. I thought, well, this is nice. I thought, well, that's funny. I wonder if I'm going to taste it, because when I used to go from, you know, to my wife's place or someplace, and they're having a cup of tea, I used to think, oh, I'd like a cup of tea. But, of course, I couldn't pick up the cups, you see. And you know, I suppose I wouldn't have tasted it. But she said, well, she said, here, because you're in an entirely different atmosphere. She says, you're in your natural conditions now. So everything around you will be real and natural. Now, she says, you put out your hand, and she says, you'll feel things. Not like when you was going back to your wife and other places, things didn't seem to have any sort of reality. She says, here you will. She says, you have this cup of tea, dear, and you'll taste it. It'll taste just the same as tea you have on earth. So I tasted it, it was. And she says, well, isn't that nice? I says, yes, it's very nice. I says, but who would have thought? I said, I couldn't help but laugh. And I said, well, who would have thought that people on earth would think of us sitting up here having cups of tea? They think we were crazy, you know. She said, well, of course, that's the point. She says, people just don't understand. She says, here, yeah, she says, according to how you sort of got on, as she put it, she says, and as you progress, she says, so you find things there for your needs. If when you first come, you feel it's necessary to have this or that, it's provided for. But it's only a sort of temporary thing until you adjust yourself to think if I can help someone who's like you was, earthbound. I says, what did you say? Earthbound. She says, I said, earthbound. She says, yes, that's what you was, poor dear. She says, you was tied down to the earth because of your state of mind and your thoughts. You couldn't release yourself. And that's part of my job, to help people release themselves from material things. So she said, I was able to do that. She said, I travelled up and down on that there bus, she says, and on that tram, she says, many a time with people, because I used to live in that town years ago. So I said, oh, did you? So she says, I made a sort of effort, she said, to go back myself in the early stages, early years, to sit back to the town, she says. Of course, there were many people I knew there, and I thought it would be a wonderful thing if I could help those people, especially those who really needed help from that place, you see, so I'm doing my little bit. She says, thousands and thousands of people do that, you know, and I'm only one of them.
Very interesting.
Yes, oh, well, of course, I, funnily enough, I was really a native of that place. I went there, I suppose, I must have been about 19 to work in a factory. Many years later, I was not born there. Of course, many years ago now.
What's it like on your side, then?
Hey?
What's it like on your side?
Oh, well, depends on what you're looking at. Because there's so many diversities of places and conditions, you might say, that I can describe so many different conditions, and I suppose other people describe something else, which in a sense is rather different. But in the main, I suppose if you jump, put it all together, if you could, such a thing, you might say you've got every aspect of scenery and condition of life that you would associate with Earth. I mean, I don't know, I suppose it's like all the beauty of the world, your world, without any of the irritations and the snags and things, is those gorgeous places, lakes and forests and trees and birds, flowers, beautiful light, and not harsh, it's a soft and yet beautiful light. It's not, I first of all wondered if it was due to the sun, but I've told since it had to do with the sun at all. It's an illumination that is of natural being, but what its source is, I've never discovered. Heaven being something vastly different to the earth, where you're dependent on the sun, the moon, and the stars. We're not dependent on those. It's the world which is so far removed, you might say, from the old idea of things in some senses. And these laws which affect us all here are so natural in themselves that there's no injustice. There's a perfect realization, you might say, of things which somehow changes us all gradually, but we live in a harmonious state of being that is so beautiful, because there is no ill will, no bad thinking. Of course, there are flower spheres, I suppose. As I say, it's all a matter of how far you've gone and what you've achieved. But of course, after a time, when I got settled down, I did go back a few odd times to see the wife. She got married again. I didn't blame her for that. But I don't know. It seemed as if the old earth didn't mean the same to me. I went once or twice to places and went to see people. Of course, everybody understood. I went once or twice to a spiritualist place where the wife used to go. She used to talk to me about a little place down a cut it was. But I didn't think too much to it. I went up the old stairs in this room where they had it. One or two people there that I recognised, but I once got a message over of sorts, but I don't think I was very good at it. It's all very interesting. You know, you were lucky, you two are, because you had some, well, I learned a bit, a lot of experience. Of course, you're bound to come up against some awkward customers. I should imagine those difficult ones, the religious ones, unless they've got so much sort of fixed in their minds and take out a lot of shifting, I should think. Give me the man whose mind's open and is not cluttered up with a lot of ideas, because I realise now so much more. I often think if only I'd understood this, I wouldn't have been running around, travelling around in buses and trams and worrying myself as I was at times, silly, you might say, fool, because I was ignorant. You know, that's the trouble with the world, ignorance. If only people weren't ignorant of this here truth, you know, of life and what happens at death, make a vast difference to an untold number of people in every shape and form, because not only would it make a big difference to the people that come. secrets that people have left behind. I think then one would see things differently and they'd understand more and it would change them. It would make different new people of them. Break down all these dark barriers people got about colour and religion and class and all that nonsense. Always, I don't know, I've heard of utopia as they call it, but on Earth, well, I suppose if there is such a thing as utopia, this is it. Because believe me, it really is a world in which there's a full life in every sense. There's no feeling of, well, of ill will of any kind. Everyone gets on fine. We're all in harmony and there's great peace. Opportunities to do all the things you want to do, all the interests you want. It is a wonderful thing. Wonderful. Only wish I could convince everyone, make a vast difference to them all. Believe me, what I think you two are marvellous. The way you go around and the way you try to work and help people and show them the truth, I think you two are highly to be thought of. I do really. I heard about you from a friend of mine, as a matter of fact, who does rescue work, and he says you want to go and sometime try and get in touch with that Mr. Woods and Mrs. Green, because they really are doing a good job, not like some of these other people that, well, I won't say it's not for me to condemn, Mrs., but you're doing a wonderful job, bless you both. Anyway, I can't hold on, but I'm not so good at this. I've been two or three times, but I must say, it's the first time I've ever had a real talk. Anyway, God bless you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. Don't get down in the dumps. You can't please everyone. Bound to get some brickbats, you know. You're a good couple. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
That's true.
Thank you.
We let him come because we thought that he would be in a distress of a kind that would induce an appeal to many. He's just an ordinary humdrum, we might say, individual when on your side, but whose reaction to life here is remarkable. He's progressed, of course, especially from the time which he spoke when he first came over. This is true. There are many people who do cling to the earth and do carry on sometimes for a very long time, doing very much the same thing as they would have done when on earth, travelling in buses and on trains, going to theatres and cinemas, visiting homes, people they used to know, all sorts of mundane things which hold them because it's the only thing that they seem to be able to understand or appreciate, in spite of the fact that they're completely ignored. You see, until a person's mind is changed and their outlook, it's very difficult for them to be released always from material things. Of course, a large number of people do leave the earth immediately at death. But there are people who, for various reasons, are held back by material thoughts, by conditions, and all manner of things. That's why, if only this truth were understood and accepted, it could save a great deal of unhappiness. And many people could see early on, after their passing, the truth and the realization of life. It would mean less well for many of us here who come to help them and bring them away from earth conditions. Indeed, one might go on and say that how tragic it is that in life very few people know in your world about the realities of the spirit. They know so little about life itself, they're so concerned with existing materially that they know nothing or little of things of vital importance. They know nothing of the things of the spirit, the real life that is the life of continuity, the life that never ceases. Instead of building for the things that are permanent, so many build for the things of the material which have their moment and are gone. And I only wish it were possible for so many other souls that we have in mind to come and talk to you. No doubt some of them will. We want to bring you a varied group of entities, peoples, so that you should have a very good cross-section of humanity and their reactions to life.
Helpful